today, this morning, to heal every sick person here, and that there is enough power to deliver every condition that we have right here now in this room. And I'm just going to ask you to submit every condition to God right now, because He's going to deliver every soul in this room from every condition, whether it be psychological, whether it be spiritual, whether it be physical. Hallelujah. 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 I am speaking what I'm hearing. So it is not a man that is going to bring this deliverance, but God says to tell you that there is enough power here right now. All you have to do is reach out by faith. Believe the word right now, and every condition will be delivered. Hallelujah. Let us just close our eyes and put our condition before God this moment. Father, as we hear, so we speak. And you have said in your word that every word that cometh out of your mouth is spirit and it is life. Let this spirit go forth at this moment, and let this life go forth at this moment, and let it break down every barrier, glory, and everything that death and hell has put upon us. Loose! Let every human being be healed, Lord God. Let every condition be delivered. Let every yoke be broken. We cast out every evil spirit. Loose! Thank you, Jesus. That is in your people at this time. Whether they believe it or they believe it not, we command every unclean thing to leave this building and leave the bodies and the mind of the people of God at this moment. And we ask for an anointing of the ears and the heart in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to speak about the anointing of the ears. The hearing. One of the things that is wrong with the church is the church is not hearing. I've heard the word which says the church is not seeing, which is right. Some people are both deaf and blind. And I want to touch on the hearing and see where God will take us from there. Let's get right back to the anointing of the priest by Moses, drawn in chapter 29 of Exodus. And we could read from the second verse, and unleavened bread and cakes, unleavened tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened anointed with oil of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. When you anoint the bread with oil, it means that you have an anointing within. There is an anointing without, and there is an anointing within. And God is speaking that the people of God must have the double anointing of within and without. Now, let's go on. And thou shalt put them into a basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garment and put upon Aaron, and the coats and the robe of ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon the mitre. I want you to notice that the mitre is a symbol of the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And he said you have to put on the helmet of salvation before you get the anointing. Verse 7, then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. Praise be to God. And we run our eyes down to let's read 19 and 20. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Then shalt thou kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the right great toe of his right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. For a moment, let us dwell upon the anointing of the ear. God says that some people get unto themselves teachers with itching ears. Thank you. Today, some people would not come here because they are not going to hear what they want to hear. Some people want the preachers to tell them how safe they are in what they are, how good they are in what they are doing, and so they come for a certain amount of security and comfort in what they are doing. So if you are a Baptist, you want to hear Baptist teaching. If you are a Methodist, you want to hear Methodist teaching. If you are Pentecostal, you want to hear Pentecostal teaching, and you want to have a certain amount of Pentecostal exercise to satisfy that which is within you. But today, there is a people who are not satisfied, who would be satisfied with what they had, the old time doctrines that they had. They want to go on in God. And there is a plan of God that the church should go on. So that when Jesus was about to leave, he said the Holy Ghost will come, and there are some things that I can't tell you. He said, but the Holy Ghost will tell you, and he will lead you into all truth. Amen. But some people made a doctrine against that. And they said, no, we received the Holy Ghost when we got accepted Jesus. We don't need any more. So they blocked themselves, their doctrines blocked them off from receiving even that which God ordained that they should receive. Their ears, they stopped the ears by putting a stop of cotton in their ears. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have another group that said, oh, we want to hear the Holy Ghost. But then, when they got the Holy Ghost, they just speak in tongues. And they dance. And they sing. But they shut off on Sundays and they go outside and live their lives, their usual lives with sin and everything. And then come back again to get the Holy Ghost to quicken them again. So it is a Sunday morning Christianity. Amen. And again, they frustrate God. You ever heard a thing like that? That a man can frustrate God. They frustrate God. Stop God. Stop him. Do you know you can stop God? Oh, yes. You can stop God from doing the things that God intends to do to you. But there are others who, the more God gives them, the more they are dissatisfied. Amen. Hallelujah. And God said, blessed are they. Did he? Blessed are they which are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. God is going to fill you somehow, some way, somehow. Hallelujah. Those who desire God and more of God and see here, I won't be satisfied until I am like Jesus Christ. I won't be satisfied. I'll always believe that there is something more for me until the day when I wake up and find that I am like Jesus Christ. For this is what my Bible tells me. I cannot be satisfied with sin. I cannot be satisfied with the wishy-washy Christianity that I see around me. I cannot be satisfied with my own actions. I cannot be satisfied with my own behavior. For I am finding fault with me. And if I'm finding fault with me, I believe that Jesus Christ is going to make me like Jesus one day. Don't you? Amen. Praise be to God. But now we talk about the anointing of the ear. And he said he anointed his right ear and his right thumb and his right great toe. And the first question you must ask is why? Why? Amen. Now, the right hand in Scripture is always the hand of the Spirit. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is sitting where? At the right hand of God. It doesn't mean that God has two hands like you. But God is the speaking to men. And because he's speaking to me, he has to speak our language. So he let us know that the right hand is the hand of the Spirit. Now, if then God is going to anoint my right ear, what he is saying is that he's going to open up my spirit hearing. Because some people hear the same word you hear, and they go in an opposite direction to the one that God has been directing you. They hear the same word, and one word kill, and it make another lie. The same word. Amen. So then, the problem is not the word so much as the hearing that you hear. Amen. It's like, I was giving them the joke yesterday that we were looking at the television one night, and here comes a man streaking across the screen, naked as a jaybird, streaking across the screen. And everybody, some got excited and frightened, some were laughing. And I said, oh, that is what Jeremiah looked like when he was running naked down the street. You see, with the kind of excitement that it brought, hallelujah, you see the same thing, yet one mind. So then God is speaking not so much about just your natural ear, but your spiritual ear is the bent of your mind. The way your mind responds to the carnality of the world, to what the devil is doing around you, it's the way you respond. Some people have turned them off. Some people have turned them on. You see? Praise be to God. God. Amen. God is asking you to have a mind like the mind of Christ. An ear touched with blood. And if you feel that your ear is hearing the wrong things or wanting to listen to the wrong things, pray to God and say, Lord God, give me an ear that hears God. Give me an ear that not only hears God, but wants to hear God. You know, I've told you several times of cases where God comes and speaks to me personally, and I hear him with my natural ears, and oh boy, to me that was the greatest. Isn't that so? Wouldn't you like to have God coming and sitting down and talking to you like a friend? I discovered it wasn't the greatest. I discovered that I was still kind of wanting to hear with my ears. Oh yeah. And so God had to break me off the sin. Because there are many voices around. And let me tell you something. If you think you're smart, you can't outsmart the devil. Amen. He'll put on a voice, you know, like Rich Little. he'll put on a voice and he sounds just like God. And so I got up this morning and was about to pray, knelt down, and I heard a tapping on my bed. Now remember, you kneel down to pray, your ears are tuned to God. To get your ears untuned, back, tuned away from God, what the devil would do? Give you a distraction. Give you a distraction. Let me tell you, whenever you're frightened, you're not tuned to God. If you're subject to being frightened, ask God to take away being frightened from you. Because the devil has a way of attacking you, what? Suddenly. A car runs into you, something else happens suddenly, get you off. You're out of the spirit immediately. He's going to catch you. Unless God intervenes. And so, while I put aside the prayer now, what's that? You know, this must be a ghost. Because I'm in this room alone. It's a ghost knocking on the... While I'm thinking, I hear the voice, my son. Hallelujah. In such a sweet voice. You know, it hurt me afterward to find out that the devil called me his son. Amen. He said, my son. I say, oh God, God has come into my room to talk to me. Immediately I feel good about it, you know. And start to listening. And he started to telling me about other people. Now, let me tell you something, brethren. God's not going to come and tell you about other people. Anytime you start hearing about all the faults of the other people, it's the devil. Rebuke him right away. You didn't say amen, but I hope you believe it. Let me tell you, brethren, the only way, there's only one way that God's going to tell you about somebody else. If God knows that you love that person with all your heart, and he's telling you so as to help the person, because you're going to take it as a burden if you hear that that person is not spiritual or not behaving right. You understand me? That's the only way that God will tell you. Because he knows love is going to be put into operation. But for God to come around and telling you about all these people, telling you about all their business, watch out. Any prophet that comes and prophesies all the bad things about you, watch out. Watch out. And so I didn't know better. I was picking up all this bad prophecy about all the brethren in the church. And I felt good. Come on now. You're hearing all these bad things about people and you feel good. God is letting me into the secrets about you all, you know. I'm going to be the great pastor coming to church and say, you brother so-and-so and so, the Lord says so, and the Lord says so-and-so, sister, you know that sort of way. And I'll exalt my position. And that was what was in my mind. And that was the darkness that the devil saw in me that he got to walk about. Itching ears. Ears that want to hear the wrong thing. And I would have been taken completely had God not intervened in mercy and stop it. For I would have gone to the best people in the church, the people who were living right, who were struggling, standing, and I would have turned them to pieces, for they were all lies. You better believe I went and checked them out afterwards. Although God told me they were the devil, I still went and checked it out. Because you know, the devil will give you a little truth and mix it with lie and poison you. Oh yes, he's a pharmacist. No affront to anybody who might be a pharmacist here. But the devil is a pharmacist. He mixes two good things and make a poison out of it. Oh, did you know that you can have two good things, that you could eat this and it doesn't do you any harm, you eat that and it doesn't do you any harm, and you mix them together and it creates a poison? Oh yeah. So he's a pharmacist, and he'll mix the wrong things and give you. And I'm telling you, brethren, when God rebuked him that morning, he took off. And I knew then that I was submitting to the devil. And God said, and I said to him, God, Lord, why did you do me this? Why did you let the devil loose on me like this? And he, with great surprise, said to me, how come you sat down for half an hour and talk with the devil and didn't know it was the devil? Something was wrong. And I was rebuked immediately. I realized that there was evil in me. And the devil was walking upon the evil that was in me. Amen. To come in. And I didn't recognize it was the devil at all, because I wanted what I was getting. See? And so praise be to God. We talk about the ears of the church. I was talking with a brother recently, a couple days ago, in Minneapolis, and he was just weeping over the condition of the church, over how the church is getting blinder and blinder and blinder. that the way that God used to operate with them in some years down the line in latter rain, and how they saw all the things in the church clearly, like a glass clearly. Now we are seen through the glass darkly and very darkly. But you know, remember scripture said that the church was like a sea of glass. Remember? And when Solomon was building the temple, he built a big sea of glass. It means that God is bringing us to the point where we can see clearly, cleanly. Nobody will have anything to hide. Amen. We will be like glass. Clear, crystal glass. Amen. But for the time being, we need to get our ears anointed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that our hearing is in God. And although we hear the word, it does not affect us. But our hearing is in God. You hear me? I'm going to touch something here that's a little bit painful. A lot of the brethren say, God says, God says, God says. And I believe that 3/4 of what the brethren are saying, God says, God didn't say. I believe that even the leaders do not know when God say from when God does not say. Amen. And it is running the church into trouble. Beware of how you say God say. Believe you me. Because there are other voices talking to us. Sometimes a man's mind tells him. Do you know that you listen in three dimensions in the church? I'm going to have to write with my left hand today. We listen in three dimensions. And we come right back to the same three dimensions. There's a spirit listening. I'm not used to writing with my left hand. Okay? And there is a... The spirit, soul, and body. Now, your soul has ears. Your soul has ears. You can hear something from your soul. And you think it's God. Your own soul will speak to you. And you think it's God. Because sometimes a man's emotions speak. Come on. You tell me that here is a preacher. All of you sitting down here. And a preacher comes up before you and he begins to tell you about the conditions in India. And he describes in detail the distress. You know what we saw in India one day? A man have a little, it looks like a monkey, about this size, but it was a child. In his hand. And it left us wondering, how could they get a child to look like a monkey like that? And he was begging, and using that is what a professional beggar, and they have this little deformed child that they used to beg with. It stirs the emotions and make you want to give. But it is his profession. And so a lot of the preachers that will come to you and tell you about the conditions in India, they tell you about the distress, about the hunger. It's all true. But most of the money you give don't reach to those conditions. Amen. In other words, you can be used emotionally. I can play upon your emotions and get you to do things because your emotions have ears. And when I touch your emotion, you say you hear God. No, you didn't hear God. Your emotions tell you to give. And you gave because your emotions were touched. Then I appeal to your mind. I can appeal to your mind with a message. And begin to talk to your mind and stir up your mind. And all of a sudden you hear the Lord saying, oh, I must give so and so, I must do so and so. And so you have to be careful that your desires and your own mind and your emotions not speaking to you. Amen. When do you hear the Spirit? When do you hear the Spirit? When you know for sure that this that comes to you is coming from inside of you and not just from outside. You hear me? Because the Christ in me is speaking to the Christ in you. So you actually feel the very thing that I'm saying inside. And some of you can say, aha, you know, that's what the Lord was saying to me. It's only being confirmed. Because it is one Spirit, one Christ Spirit, and this Spirit is in you as well as in the preacher. Supposed to be. Amen. And so, if you are listening well, you will know what you are hearing, whether the stirring to do comes from your emotions, from your own soul, or from the physical, from the natural. Sometimes it is the thing outside there that's affecting you. Oh yes. Oh yes. Everybody else out there, you know, everybody else out there believes in the rapture. Therefore, I think we should believe in the rapture too. As a matter of fact, we'll get on better, we'll get more people, we'll have, and you have some carnal things that could happen to you and your Bible. Who am I to go against the great theologians? Who am I to go against Dick and Strong? And somebody brought Young's to me. And I said, that's not of God. The great brother Young, theologian, who are you? I said, that is not of God. That man is lying to his own soul. Yes, because Young knows as well as any other person who even barely knows Greek that that word does not mean what he says it means, but he wants to con you. That's why he said it means. See what I mean? And so, men are not going to turn me from what I hear from God. Oh yeah, because all these men have been wrong. Young's is wrong in some places. Strong's is wrong in some places. Schofield is wrong in most places. But these brothers, they have been listening to their own reason. They are intellectuals, and the intellectual spirit will take charge of your hearing, and you'll hear God, and it's not God. And when you are listening to God, be very humble about it. Oh, I heard God. And that will put you in trouble. Because you hear God. You have to hear God because your ears are clean. You are going to hear to the dimension to which your ears are clean. Your life, in other words, is clean. You hear me? So then he got the anointing on his ear. But then Moses wasn't satisfied. He went and anointed him on his thumb, his right thumb. And let me tell you, up to now I've not heard the preachers say what that anointing on the right thumb is. But I'll tell you this morning. The right thumb is a type, the right hand, your right hand, is a type of the hand of God. The hand of God in the earth. A type of the ministry of God in the earth. Brother Paul says in the Spirit that our gospel is built upon the foundation of the apostles. Hear me? Okay. The Roman Catholic Church tells us that there is an apostolic ascension that they get from Peter come down. He hands down to other apostles, and today they have the apostles there in Rome. Hallelujah. But you know, the way they get the handing down from Peter is carnal. But for sure, there's a spiritual handing down. Oh yeah. God showed me that thing in Revelation chapter 1. And he said, and I have in my right hand, seven stars. And he said, it's the seven angel of the seven churches. And it means that there is always a perfection of light in the world. No matter how dark the ages are, there is a perfection of God's light for all of us to partake of. Therefore, there are apostles appointed of God. There are prophets appointed of God. There are evangelists appointed of God. There are pastors, forgive me using the wrong word, shepherds appointed of God. And there are teachers appointed of God in the earth at all times. So if there's a shortage of knowledge, of righteousness, of works, it's only because we are not in submission to God, because no matter where you are, if you are in submission to God, God will send the truth to you. It is God's business to send the truth to you. Oh yes. So no matter where you are, so that thumb, that right thumb, is the apostolic doctrine, teaching, strength, power, deliverance that God says that he is putting his anointing on. And if you bring it down to the individual basis, you're talking about God anointing your works. God anointing your works. Just like he anoints your ears, he's going to anoint your works, and he's going to anoint your walk.
Amen.
Do you know that if your great toe was cut off, you couldn't stand up? You tend to tilt over.
Oh, yeah.
You tend to tilt over. If that great toe was cut off, that thing bears all the pressure. You try. You bend over like it. And the only reason you can bend over like that is because that great toe is holding on. Hallelujah. You topple right over. So the walk of the man is what God's talking about. When you touch that toe with blood, it means that you are going to live right. And you know, watch it now. You start hearing wrong, you live wrong. So God take you up and say, go to Timbuktu, and you run off to Timbuktu, and it wasn't God at all. See, you get in trouble. You have to start hearing right first. Then your works will be right and your walk will be right. Let's turn around to Genesis and look at another scripture there where God anoints the ears. We look at Genesis chapter 24. And Abraham speaking to his oldest servant. And verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thine hand on the my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughter of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. And so he sent out Eliezer. And Eliezer is the type of the Holy Ghost. Eliezer is the type of the Holy Ghost. And God sent the Holy Ghost down to us. And he came down at Pentecost. And he's here ever since. And he is seeking a bride for Christ Jesus. Someone to be one with Christ Jesus. People to be one with Christ Jesus. Now, look at what this man did. Verse 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied the pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou?" Bless the Lord God. The first thing he did was to put golden earrings onto our ears. That's what the Holy Ghost does to you. The Holy Ghost changes your hearing when you submit to him. Don't you know, brethren, that the great sin of abomination and destruction is the sin of rebellion and disobedience? Did you know that?
Amen.
When you hear the Bible talk about the abomination of desolation, it's talking about the sin of rebellion. Did I ever run down the word rebellion for you? You ever run down the word? Let me do it right here now. The word rebellion, R-E-B-E-L-L-I-O-N. The root of it is this. Bel. And the root Bel in the Hebrew means Baal. Right? Baal, our Lord. Lord. Now, after Noah came out of the ark, his sons began to have children. And he had a great grandson named Nimrod. And Nimrod, apart from being a giant, was a sorcerer, was everything. He began to communicate with the devil. Nimrod did. And the people saw this greatness and this power and the miracles, and they began to worship him. And he told them he was the Son of God. So that Nimrod was the first Antichrist. And he taught them how to rebel against God. Now remember, he did not say there was no God. Some of us think that Antichrist is going to come and say there is no Christ. Some of us think that Antichrist is going to say there is no God. But this man said, yes, he knows God personally. He said, God is his father. He said, I am the son. And in one place they call him Ninus, the son. He said, I am the son of God. And he said, whatever I tell you, you must do it. And then the people begin to obey him. And he told them, you know what, let's build a tower. Let's build a tower. And let us get away off the earth. If God ever tried to drown this world again, we are going to get away into the stars. Oh yeah. From that time, it was his launching pad. And you know what though? You know what happened? God said, if he doesn't break up this thing, they are going to succeed. You remember that scripture? So they would have gone up into the stars. Somehow the devil was going to teach them how to get off into spaceship from that time. And so we find that the word Bel, every time you rebel against God, God remembers that. This man built the Tower of Babel or Babel. I love to call it Babel. Babel. And he built the city of Babylon. You notice everyone has the bell in it. Eh? What? B-A-B-Y-L-O-N. Okay. That word always gives trouble, you know. Babylon is troublesome. Yes. B-A-B-Y-L-O-N. See? Now, he built the tower of Babel, or Babel. He built a city called Babylon, and God hated everything that was done, and he still hates it. So when you come to the word rebellion, this is English now, we're coming to. It comes from the Latin word B-E-L-L-U-M, bellum. You scared the bell again. Bellum means war. See what I mean? Remember, we speak Latin, or English is from Latin. So, rebellion, bellum is war in Latin, meaning to say this man is the god of war. See? And bellum, be war, we get bell, rebellion, bellicus, English meaning warlike. And so everything with bell in it is. When we shall see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, he's speaking about rebellion coming into the holy place, church. Hallelujah. Don't you see what I'm saying? So, the holy place, remember, the holy place in the temple, you have the outer court, the holy place, the holy of holies, right? But if you are the temple, your outer court would be your body, your holy place would be your soul, and your holy of holies would be your spirit. But if you were the church, what would be the outer court of the church? No, the church I'm talking about now. The church organization out there. The church out there. The outer court, yes, the outer court would be the entering in, the people who are just in the lowest level of salvation, just accept Jesus, and they are just there, you know what I mean. They do their own thing and so on, and they build the big churches with a roof and everything else costs $1 million. And, amen, you know what I'm talking about. Just the self-life out there. But then the people who are the holy place church are the people who walk in the Holy Ghost. Huh? Don't you see God's talking about you? God's talking about the Pentecostal people now, and he says that in there the abomination of desolation will stand up. So when you see the rebellion, the effigy of rebellion, the very symbol of rebellion, come into the holy place church and take charge, the word stand up means to take authority over. When you see that begin to happen, then you know that it is time for us to get out of the holy place, church, and get up higher. So it is the rebellion that God hates. And now, if you're not hearing God, if you are hearing the wrong voice, you are going to walk in rebellion. So, the Holy Ghost came in order to put a golden earring upon your ear that you might hear God. There is nothing worse than the brother who hears a voice and thinks it's God and it's not God, and is going forth in the name of God and it's not God.
Amen.
We must get very serious about this point. You know why? It's going to be the point of life or death. This is going to be the point of life or death for us. I remember preaching the word Babylon once, and some brethren heard it, and they said, we are getting out of Babylon. And they packed up all their goods, they sold up everything, some gave away their cars, their trailers, whatnot, and they all rushed off to the wilderness of Canada to hide, to get away from Babylon. Well, after that I heard that the United States and Canada signed an agreement that in the case of war, Canada would be the battleground. Up in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Praise be to God. I remember some people in France told us of hearing a racket one night outside during the war, and when they looked through their windows, a full-fledged battle was going on out in their backyard. They had gone to live out in the country, in the wilderness, and that's where the battle was fought. Amen. So praise be to God. It cannot be emphasized enough that we need to hear God and make sure that it's God we're hearing. And the one of the things that will help you to hear God is to know that you are of a right mind. Because if there's any spot in you, if there's any darkness in you, you will hear the devil and you'll think it's God. Too many brethren are saying, God said, God said, God said, and God didn't say. Do you know that God gave you the body of Christ as a check and a balance against what God says? You notice that if I think I hear anything that God said, I come and tell you. Why you think I tell the brethren when I hear anything important, like that we should move into centers and help one another in this way? Because I want to hear if God's going to tell you too. What God is telling you. Because God couldn't tell me alone because I can't do it. But God's going to tell his people also. And we must needs have confirmation from the body. Too many brethren are running off and doing things and saying God say and God didn't say. Brother, you know what submission to the body is? You are the elders. Let's say the elders of this body. And God speak to one of you and say, go off to Timbuktu. And you come to the rest of the body and say, God say, go to Timbuktu. I think I better pack my grip and take off. And the body prayed about it, and they didn't get any word that you should go to Timbuktu. If you even know it is God, you should not go. You know that. And that is the same principle between a man and his wife. God, if you, God, you are the God of heaven and earth. If you, God, want me to go off to Timbuktu, then tell my wife. If you don't tell my wife, I won't go. Oh, yeah. You cannot be in partnership with somebody else. The person is going to suffer. Whatever actions you take, it's going to affect the other person. And you tell me that your God of heaven tell you to do something and didn't tell the other person, and the other person is going to bear the burden of it, and you said, well, you better obey. That's not submission. Submission is that we submit one to another. Don't you understand, brethren? I'm talking about the hearing ear. I wouldn't even touch the seeing eye. I think our brother dealt with that before. But I'm talking about the hearing ear. And the ears are in a position that they can hear anything. Some people are not happy when you tell them that they weren't hearing God. They're mad with you. But let me tell you some secret. That if you don't hear the devil, you have never heard God. Come on now. Come on now, brethren. Say something. Nobody even say amen because you don't understand what I say. I go back over it. If you have never heard the devil, you have never heard God. It's very simple. Because if you heard the devil, then you know it is the devil. But some people, oh, the devil can't talk to me. You know what that means? That means that the devil is talking. Because he doesn't know the difference between the devil and God. How are you going to know the difference between the devil and God if you never heard the devil? You have to hear him and recognize him and know that is the devil. Come and tell me about the other people. Come and give me all kind of news about what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that. I know it's not God. I know it's not God. Praise be to God. And so, we look at the case of Saul. Let's take a look at the case of Saul. 1 Samuel. And we look at chapter 15. And the Lord, verse 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Let me tell you something, brethren. If God tells you to do something, no matter how peculiar it looks, you're going to have to do it. Do you know that these Amalekites had certain spiritual disease that they had to be destroyed? Whether it was a natural disease that was going to be carried over to the Israelites or what, but God told him to burn the chickens and the animals. Amen. I remember working in the agricultural department, and there was a time when we had to go in and take the man's lovely hogs and everything and burn them, kill them and burn them, burn all the chickens to prevent the disease going from his farm to somebody else's farm. But God didn't explain this to Saul. Saul was expected to work in obedience. And so God said to Saul, utterly destroy the Amalekites. And so what happened here? And Saul, listen, I want to see what Saul said. And Saul said, verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yes, yes, I am so happy. I've done all that God tell me to do. I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed Amalekite. Amen. The man was not conscious. The man was not conscious of righteousness. Can you understand the condition? We're dealing with the condition here, you know. I'm applying that condition to the condition of God's people all around us. And asking us to escape from this condition of utter oblivion. We're oblivious of God's voice and the truth. The man said, I have obeyed. Praise God, he said. Hallelujah. We have done the work of the Lord. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Hurt painful. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I want you to hear that. But the next word is the word that I want you to understand. That the word here used was the word that is the name of Baal. The name of Baal. And when the Lord talk about Baalism and how to wipe out the groves and to destroy the groves, all through, it is something that hurts God deep down in his heart. Baal worship. The next verse says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Don't you hear me? That the word rebellion is a painful word to God. That God is seeing rebellion in the church. That God is saying that right here in the holy place, that rebellion is standing up to take charge of the holy place church. That God is saying men and women must begin to learn how to hear God. Hey, glory to God, hallelujah. Because death is at our doorstep. And the only thing that's going to deliver us is hearing God. Where shall I turn, Lord? Shall I turn to the right or shall I turn to the left? God must tell you where to turn. Every soul must begin to hear God for himself. Amen. Go down before God and ask him to sanctify your ears. And you'll find out that some of the reason why we don't hear God is because we are bound to our soulish own way. Emotional desires. Mental operations that we can't let loose. To let God work. You know, one brother asked God how could be perfect, you know. And God tell him, get rid of the imperfection. In other words, I want to have this handbag here. And yet I'm clutching in my hand something else. And I'm there. I don't want to let go of this, but I want that on top of it. God says, no, no. God wants the people of God to break loose from themselves. Do you know that there are some things in you that nobody can deal with but you? Right. You're going to have to go before God's searchlight, look yourself in the mirror of God, and say, God Almighty, I don't like what I see. I don't like me. I want to be changed. I want to be like you, amen. Blessed be the God. Then you have some of us measuring ourselves with other people, with ourselves. Some of us dare to go to God and said, God, how is it that this one can prophesy so? And how is it that one can do so and so? I would like to be like him. Don't you hear me? We need to be like Jesus. We have one paragon in the church. One paragon. One mark of the high calling in the church. And we should not look at any other. Praise be to God. You know, we were talking the other night about the wickedness of the spirits that are bothering the church. And some of the ministries that minister and the imitators that imitate them. And you hear a man come over the radio or the television, and if you don't look, you will think it is so and so. Because he's the exact mannerism. I went into a meeting and I saw all the men walking with their shoulder kind of humped like this. You know, that's all the way. And I know that they do teach them this in college, in the seminaries, how to walk. You know, a minister is not supposed to step ram up into the platform and grab his Bible. He's supposed to, you know, walk a special walk. And so, and all this sort of thing, It's of hell, this imitation spirit that is among the brethren. Brethren must stop looking at one another and start look at Jesus.
Amen.
Because if you look at us, you're going to be satisfied when you should be weeping.
Amen. Oh yes.
Satisfied because, you know, I'm up there with them, you know. I'm one of the great. Whereas when you look at Jesus, you see yourself so small. So small. You feel so small before God. Hallelujah. So, may God bless us and bless our ears and our understanding, that we can understand God, that we can hear God, that we can see with eyes, wash with eyes salve according to the Bible. Amen. And that we don't have that disease that brother... You know, I could say something more about that, you know, brother Bob. When Samson went in to Delilah, he had gone into other women before, but he never got hit that hard. But when he went into Delilah, Delilah first of all took off his hair, which is his covering. And when you see the church have no covering, when you see a church begin to preach that covering is the brethren, you know, the brethren is a covering, the covering is the head carries the covering, and must be Christ. And if you are not under Christ, you are not under covering, you are outside, naked. And the church lost its covering long ago. And then it began to pick up a false covering. Then the next thing happened to Samson. They took a hot sword and just slapped it in his eye and took out his eyes. And if you go back at that story and read it, when Samson, groping, found his hair growing back, got back his covering, he groped along. He tell the little boy, he said, put me between the pillars, the big main pillars that the whole house stand on. And when he put him between it, he said, now God, for my eyes. Wasn't that what he said? The revenge that he was revenging, not for what they did him, but for his eyes. The church is blind, 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 blind. I told one friend, you know, that God is going to destroy the place where they live. And the person said to me, I don't believe it. I said, why don't you believe it? She said, I don't believe it because if God was going to destroy here, he would tell me. I remember one time A.A. Allen, you all know A.A. Allen, you know of A.A. Allen, a man of power, amen. Real, he had some real power there. A.A. Allen, a woman came to him from the congregation and said, God say to tell you that the enemy is going to destroy you. Said, who are you? If God want to tell me anything, he'll come to me. He wouldn't go to you to tell me. No, get away. Hallelujah. Amen. The morning I was in Boston. It was Baltimore. Amen. I was in Baltimore, and I got up, and it was unusual, but I did it. I went and switched on the radio. Came out of the radio, A.A.R. And this is the message he was preaching. He said that God says that those false shepherds, which will not feed my sheep, I'm going to move them out of the way and appoint me shepherd that will feed the sheep. He was coming over. And brother, when he's coming over, you have to listen to him. You know, you have to listen to him. He was coming over with some kind of power there. And he said, the sorcerers in Sacramento, California, say that they give me 9 days to live. And he said, today is the 9th day, and I am alive. And, you know, he put a curse upon them and whatever else. Lo and behold, it was a tape. And Allen was dead. And the 9th day, he died. Amen. Once you start looking at something else, your eyes for God become dim. You lose your eyes. Today, the church is a blind, stumbling giant. She has gone into Delilah, and Delilah has taken away the virtue. Delilah has taken away the virtue of the church and bereft her of her covering and taken out her eyes. Plucked out her eyes. Ah, glory to God. And I say, brethren, the only way we are going to see and we are going to hear God is if we get out of the blind church and get under the head, Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just feel that we should have probably a little moment of prayer for some who may need prayer before we close. Amen. I don't know what kind of time you have, but I think that sometimes we rush too far and we leave out, you know, the things that we ought to do. There are some people who need to be lifted up. And I want you just to feel free to just say it now or come now and let us pray with those who need that prayer.